Welcome to a special edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, the Giants mobile app, and on Facebook Live. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegel's with you, and our special guest for the first 10 minutes of the program is Dan Salamone, one of the fine writers we have on Giants.com. The reason we have Dan on is he was the guy who put together the fantastic oral history of the game-winning drive of Super Bowl 42, which you can find on the front page of Giants.com right now. So we got the guy that wrote about it. We got the guy that was in the game. I think it's a perfect time to talk about it, Dan. How did you put this thing together? You got Troy Aikman in there. You got Joe Buck in there. You got a Bill Simmons comment, which we'll talk about a little bit later. You got probably, what, a dozen, 15 different Giants players. How did this whole thing come about?
So it really started leading up to the 10-year anniversary. We had Don Sperling, if you remember Don Sperling, Mike Becton were crisscrossing the country, getting all these, where are they now, is talking about 2007. And as these transcripts are coming back, we're thinking about there's so much great stuff here, and obviously things would get cut out for production and stuff like that. So we're trying to think of an interesting way to present it, and I don't know about you guys, but these oral histories I think are the coolest things that you see these days. You get the most amazing behind-the-scenes stories and everything. So we had a lot of the players, and then we're thinking, who else can we get? So we thought Fox production crew, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman – kind of spawned from there. We had to, we knew we had to get a Patriots guy. We eventually got Rodney Harrison for the other side. And then, just became a puzzle trying to fit everyone together and came out and we launched it last night.
I guess I asked you, this 10 years ago. So, I would imagine a lot of the guys, they had to.
And trust me, Jeff Fiegel doesn't remember anything from 10 years ago. So
you notice my name wasn't in that thing.
I did have you in there at one point.
In fairness, you weren't on the field during the game-winning drive.
I was on the sideline watching the great drive, knowing that I was pretty much done for the day after that. But I would imagine that the guys, it took them a little bit in the conversation when you had with them to try to really think about, because they're playing the game and to go back after they're done playing and try to remember it, it's got to be a little bit difficult for some of these guys.
You know what? Actually, I found the opposite. I was going into that even with the broadcasters. I was kind of going into the interviews. I was like, I don't know if they'll remember. Do I need to send them things? But right away, they knew everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and remember, that speaks to the significance of this Super Bowl and how memorable, especially that final drive was. It just sticks out in everybody's mind, and obviously the fans are the same way.
Well, when you go through that whole, I'd mentioned it before we got on the air here. I read it yesterday, and honestly, I was in a car reading it, and I was thinking to myself,
hopefully not while you were driving.
No, Kate. I was literally, it took me to that moment on the field. Yeah. And just in highlighting it again, because it was so long ago. And as John says, I don't remember a whole lot of stuff. Yeah. I do remember a lot of my teammates, though.
Yeah.
Because we do play that game here. But the fact is, just going through it, really, it was a great piece. And I know a lot of guys, if you haven't read it yet, you should go on Giants.com and download it. It is an amazing piece. You did a great job on it.
And by the way, it is at Giants.com/oral history. That is the exact URL if you want to go check it out.
So it really brings you back. And it's a great time because, obviously, this weekend we are celebrating. The Giants are celebrating the 10th anniversary of that team. So a lot of good stuff going on this weekend.
There were so many moments throughout making this thing. And I sit next to Dave Dominic, who designed the site. And just so many times, we just look at each other and go, football's so awesome. It's just watching, especially seeing like Strahan lined up in front of the offense before they're taking the field. It's just, and Carl Banks said it at one point, that's the stuff that's just made for NFL films. It's just amazing how dramatic everything was.
Who gave you the most stuff you hadn't heard before?
Oh, the story that really sticks out, I actually like Pam Oliver's story. It was interesting to hear about the production meetings, and they all said they had the quiet confidence and everything. But she had a great story about how, so she had covered the previous playoff games leading up to it, and the Giants were superstitious. They're like, we need you on our sideline again for the Super Bowl, because she had the choice to choose the Patriots or the Giants. And so she thought it'd be borderline rude to leave the Giants at that point. She had OC, she had Strahan, like, you got us this far, you have to be on our sideline. So they were superstitious about that. So that's just one of the many, obviously, it's cool stories that you uncover of everything that goes into it.
And when you think about Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, how many games they do and how many plays that they go. Yeah. I mean, this was a significant, obviously, drive for them. And I'm sure their recollection when you're reading it was pretty good.
Yeah. This was only, I think they said this was their second Super Bowl. The one they did before was the Patriots-Eagles. And Joe was saying how that one's kind of nondescript, even though it was a close. I think the final point was just 3-point differential, but yeah, he said this one was so amazing. And I was kind of talking about they're broadcasting to 100 million people. Do you have to suppress, like, the human element of not being, I think they use the phrase, the guy on the couch. So, yeah, they had to, like, suppress those emotions and just get the call out and everything. And it was just, yeah, it was fun listening to those guys call it.
Again, Giants.com/oral history. Dan, last question for me on this, because we could talk about this forever. You know, everyone remembers the Burrus game-winning touchdown. Everyone remembers the Tyree one-handed catch. No one remembers the Brandon Jacobs fourth and short. I think few people remember the big Steve Smith conversion. And, of course, the play that nobody talks about except for Ronnie Harrison, who remembers it like it was yesterday, is the drop to Sante Samuel interception. Just shows you how a combination of little plays and good fortune all kind of go into putting a drive like that together that really is NFL history.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, Rodney Harrison especially was drawing that point when you asked him about it. For every play, he's like, yeah, that's what people say. The Tyree play, great. Didn't put any points on the board. They still had a score. There was just so much going on in that drive. And, yeah, it was more than the Tyree catch.
Especially the fourth and one play. I actually, when I was reading it last night, I honestly forgot about that play myself. But it was such a significant down and distance. It was, and even leading up to the play before. So just a sequence of plays that went through that, one of the better drives you'll ever see in a National Football League Super Bowl. And just for the way that it happened. And really, when you read about this story and you hear Michael Strahan tell the team, you know, one touchdown and we're world champs, and you believe it. I mean, it was – I'm getting goosebumps. That was the message. And we had come so far – that season, when you talk about how we went through the playoffs and really at 9-7 getting into the playoffs and really going coming out of that Packers game and then going into this game, just I can tell you, I've said this many times on this show and people know that was 20 years in the making for me. I mean, I had been in the National Football League for 20 years and had never been to the Super Bowl, and here it is coming down to this drive to get that ring. And, you know, that ring is just something that you'll always cherish. I was in an appearance last night. I had my Super Bowl ring, and I said to one of the guys, I said, if I had never won this game, I wouldn't be taking pictures all the time with my hand up like this, you know? Yeah. It's a great feeling to have that ring, and really it's what every player plays for.
Dan, great stuff. Yeah, awesome job with the old history. We appreciate the time.
Just want to say one last thing.
Please.
George Costanza getting mad about the big salad and not getting the credit for it. This is a complete team effort. We had Dave Dominick design the site, Don Sperling, the whole production team, Hanlon orchestra. He played a middleman with a lot of these interviews. So it's just complete effort on everybody. And it's just, one of the coolest things I've ever been part of working here the Giants.
And by the way, I was going to bring this up, but I'll bring it up now because I forgot. You guys did reach out to Bill Simmons, who's obviously a big Patriots fan for this. And I believe he sent you one line and you kind of sprinkled it out throughout via email. I cannot talk about that game, be involved in oral history about it, anything. I hate that game. And he promptly retweeted it today saying, what did he say on the tweet? Remind me.
It was the most harrowing read, I think, of 2017, I think is what he said.
Well, it's a harrowing read for Patriot fans. It's a fun read for Giant fans. So make sure you check it out, giants.com/oral history. Dan, we appreciate it again. Congratulations. Great stuff on the great job in the article.
Sounds good.
It's Dan Salamone. He joins us. He did a fantastic job there in the Giants oral history of the game-winning drive of Super Bowl 42. Great stuff by Danny. And, of course, he is the backbone of the writing, of the written content on Giants.com. So make sure you check that out. And I got to give Dan the pop on Twitter, too, because you really should follow him on Twitter. He does a great job. NYG Salamone, that's NYG Salomone, does a fantastic job. Make sure you get there and you follow him on Twitter as well. All right, Jeff, just a great story on your oral history, but you can't look backwards in life. You must look forward. And that's what we're going to do. If you guys want to call up and talk about the game last Sunday, we can, obviously. We'll react to that. Do whatever you got to do. And I guess before we look ahead, Jeff, I should get your take on the game because we haven't heard from you on BBK since the game.
I'm sure that everything that you guys have gone over this week
is actually my first time on, too, believe it or not. So give me 15 seconds on it before you move forward.
I feel like, you know, the defense played well enough to win the game.
Agreed.
And I feel
not
like
great, but good enough to win.
Good enough. I mean, 19 points. That was their MO all season last year.
Great red zone defense.
And, you know, offensively, Eli Manning is a very rhythmic quarterback. We know that. And when Eli is taken out of that rhythm, you have problems.
And he was early by getting hit.
No question. And by design or not, it happened. The Dallas defense didn't do anything special. They did a lot of stunting, and they got there with four guys. And when you can get there with four guys and you're being successful at it, why change anything? They were playing very deep coverage, giving everything underneath because 1-3 wasn't on the field. And I think that you don't want to say that that was the complete reason why they lost the game. There's obviously execution on the offensive side. And when you run the ball 12 times, that's not part of the game plan. You know, that's getting to the point where you're trying to make some things happen. So third down conversions were not good, and some critical penalties through that game. So it's the first game of the season. Pump the brakes on the whole deal about the offensive line. We all know that. We knew that coming into the season that this was going to be a topic of discussion. It is now, but these guys got to play. They got to execute better. They're going to go up against a Detroit defense that is a decent defense. They don't do a lot of stuff up front. They have a four-man rush. They'll try to do – this is a copycat league. You know that, Johnny. So whatever the Cowboys did, you're going to see a lot of that from from Detroit too. So.
And, Jeff, you know what? You just had such a good piece on that game last week. You had everything I wanted to hit, so I'm not even going to say anything about it because I think Jeff's absolutely right.
There you go, Johnny.
So I'm not even going to comment extra.
I'm sure that everybody's heard everything about it, so we're going to move on.
And I sat the last couple of days. We kind of have the extra day this week because the game's on Monday Night Football. By the way, we are going to get to your calls in just a minute or two at 201-939-4513. I got all four lines already lit up and ready to go here. So we will get to you in a second.
That's
don't worry about that.
What happens when Schmelk and Fiegels are on. All the lights. I mean, now, every line lights up.
One reason today is because Dan Salamon was on.
That's right.
So here we go. Okay?
Okay.
I watched with my extra time every offensive and defensive snap the Lions took last week against the Cardinals.
Boy, and you have some time on your hands.
I did.
Because you have an extra day.
Right. And we also don't have that press conference show on Wednesdays anymore, so that also gives me a lot of extra time, which I was responsible for. So I had looked at every play, and I'll give you my one nugget on offense, one nugget on defense that I saw. Offensively, really quickly, when they run the ball, they run it to the perimeter, which I think that'll be something they carry to against the Giants. I think the Cowboys had their most success on the perimeter against the Giants, too. So you're going to see a lot of those stretch plays from Abdullah. They were in a lot of self-inflicted wounds in the first half against Arizona. They were in a lot of third and super longs, you know, penalties, things like that. A couple sacks they allowed.
Not a great
things
of that nature. Game will get you there.
Exactly right. But in the second half, things started to click. And boy, if you just watched the second half of that game last week, Matthew Stafford looked like the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I was looking at the stats between the first and the second half. They're incredible.
Jeff, you're talking flat-footed passes, 25-yard outs with a rusher in his face.
You
know,
talented.
Rolling out to the right across his body on a line for 20 yards, rolling to his left, turning, squaring his body and throwing it 15 yards for a first down. I mean, he is the closest thing you have to Aaron Rodgers in this league that's not Aaron Rodgers, with his ability to scramble and throw the ball. So offensively, that's what I saw. Golden Tate, I think, is a good wide receiver. There's a couple other weapons. Galladay, the rookie, did a good job. Eric Ebron's healthy. Amir Abdullah's healthy. That'll help him. Defensively, I don't know how much I can take out of that game against the Cardinals, because all I saw in that game against Arizona was a bunch of man-to-man defense, a bunch of single high safety with a lot of guys in the box to try to stop David Johnson. That's the opposite of what the Giants do. So
the Giants do not have a David Johnson.
No, they do not. So I'm not sure I could take a whole lot from what the Lions did defensively against the Cardinals just because the offenses are so different. But if the Lions do choose to play a lot of man-to-man and single high and blitz from the second. They actually blitzed corners and safeties a couple times against the Cardinals last week, and they do bring five or six guys. I think that plays into the Giants' offense's hands because I think Eli handles blitzes well. Eli is good against blitzes, but he's bad against four-man pressure. You know what I mean?
Right.
Once he sees
he's not expecting that.
Fewer defensive backs and he knows where to go with the ball, he's golden. But I think he'll struggle when there's coverage with four guys and one of those four guys getting to him because there's obviously more guys covering the wide receiver. So those are the two things I glimpsed from looking at the Lions-Cardinals tape.
I agree. I did. You know, I didn't do as much on it as you have up to this point, but the fact is that this Detroit offensively is very talented. Okay, and when you look at Stafford, that guy has got an amazing arm. He will give you some plays. He'll turn the ball over because he's a little bit of a gambler. But you know that this guy knows how to play in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter. The Detroit Lions are one of those teams that if they're down and you're up, you better be able to run some clock because they will come back on you. And they've come back in a lot of fourth quarter comebacks.
The master of the comeback. That's what they did last year. I think they had 10 or 11 fourth quarter comebacks last year.
So if I look at this game going in, I think this you know, offensively, this is a good football team. Defensively for the Giants, it's a good team. There's a good matchup there. I think if the Giants offense can get somewhat of a running game established, that I think that they can set up a little bit of a play action and get some things going offensively.
Which might be tough, by the way. The Lions did do a great job against Johnson before he got hurt last week.
Well, I'll tell you what. Carson Palmer didn't do much for – I mean, he threw the ball to the Detroit Lions more than he threw to his receivers, basically.
Yeah, but he struggled. And a lot of that was the pressure, though, too. And the Lions do know how to get to the quarterback. Ziggy Ansah is healthy this year, and his matchup against Ereck Flowers will be huge in this game.
One thing I say, the Giants played well again. We're going back to last year. They played well at home. It's a home game. Their first opening game of the season. They've got a little bad taste in their mouth coming off of the Dallas game. Offensively, got a lot to prove. I think it's going to be a very good game.
Yeah.
These games typically have been very close the last three or four times that they have played each other. You know, they played last year. Was it December? I believe it was that they played in this game. It was a pretty close game, though. So. We'll see what happens.
Second thing I'll ask you, and before we say goodbye, before we get to the calls, rather, 201-939-4513. You guys are doing a lot of events this year, this weekend for the 2017. Yeah. We just talked about the oral history. They're obviously honoring the team on Monday night. You'll be able to watch the halftime on Giants.com. And I know you guys are doing a lot of events over the next 3 days leading into that game. Why don't you just tell the folks a little bit what you guys as a group are kind of doing together?
Ironically, and I don't know if this was, you know, planned this way, but Friday night at Cipriani's in the city, the J Fund dinner. So Tom Coughlin will be back in town. He's always run that dinner. It's been a great one. I've been to it many times. A big fundraiser for the J Fund. That's basically the kickoff. So a lot of the guys are going to be going to that dinner on Friday night. Then Saturday, we're headed out to Yankee Stadium and to watch the Yankees play the Orioles. They're honoring the 2007 Super Bowl team. I guess we're walking out from center field to home plate.
I heard you're throwing a pitch out. Is that true?
Well, I'm throwing, not everybody, but I am. Yeah. The four captains are throwing pitches out.
Wow.
So
have you been practicing?
No, I haven't been practicing.
Oh, that's a mistake, Jeff. That's a mistake. You can embarrass yourself.
I'm just going on my athleticism. I'm figuring that I used to play baseball. That's pretty much what I did my whole.
You aren't going to throw a baseball before you walk onto that mound.
Throw a baseball. I'm going to throw a knuckleball in there anyway. The catcher's going to drop it. Trust me. I got a knuckle curve that I threw in high school that was ridiculous, and it's coming.
You should really.
I don't
take
know if it's
few...
going to be Sanchez. Whoever's going to be back there, I better warn them.
You should really take a few warm up tosses.
Oh, well, maybe we'll stop at the bullpen, throw a couple in there.
I really think I would highly advise
that. So I got
that.
A funny story about this.
Okay.
And then I'll come back to it. But then Sunday is going to be a great event. Sunday we are headed out to Ellis Island.
Oh, nice.
So it's just the team and significant others and wives, things like that. But the Giants have rented the Ellis Island. We're taking a ferry out there, and we're going to have a dinner out there on Sunday night for the team. And then, of course, Monday, the game, and they're going to honor the team at halftime. I have a really good buddy of mine. His name is Harlan Coben. You may know him. He's a writer, a mystery writer. Has a new thing on Netflix, too. But he threw out the first pitch at the Yankee game. And I texted him the other day. I'm like, give me some pointers, you know. And he told me two things. He says, number one, the mound is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, so it points you down. So make sure you throw it high. And the other one is he told me is do not go on, like, YouTube and watch – other people throwing out the first pitch because there's some bad pitches. I mean, in the dirt.
50 Cent. How about the 50
cameraman.
Cent one? That was the cameraman one.
So
it's a bad one.
It'll be fun. And I think it's great. I mean, how many times can you say you've been able to throw a first pitch at Yankee Stadium, for God's sake?
That's like a dream.
How about it, right?
Come on.
It's going to be an exciting time. We want to thank the Giants organization because they always do such a wonderful job at their reunions that they do. We've had the 90 team, the 86 team, all that kind of stuff that we've had in the past. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I think there's 40 to 50 of the guys on the team coming back. So it's going to be a great weekend, and sure, it'd be a really nice if the Giants can win on Monday night, too.
And we'll interview a few of those guys on our radio pregame show on Monday night as well. So make sure you go tune in to WCBS 880 and WFAN, and you can check. Actually, I believe the game's only on WCBS 880 this week because the Yankees are playing that night. So make sure you go. You tune in that night. We'll have them on the pregame show. I don't know what three yet, but we'll have three guys over the course of that pregame show. So Jeff can reminisce with them over the course
That'll
of that pregame. And again, if you want to go to giants.com/oral history, that is the great oral history we just talked about. with Dan Salem when you go to Giants.com. It's so a long read. Make sure you have some time, but make sure you check it out.
Real quickly, Don, if we have a couple seconds. So I know this is about the Super Bowl and stuff. So I just want to give everybody a little bit of an idea of one of the things that happened that whole season that a lot of people don't know. So being a captain, you go out and you do the coin toss. I called the coin toss the whole season. I was the one that heads or tails, okay? From the first game of that season to the Super Bowl, we called tails every single game that week.
Well, tails never fails.
Every game. Tails. Now, I don't know what it came out to be, what the winning percentage of the tails and the heads, but every game was tails that year.
Okay.
And again.
So after you retired, that's when D'Ossi took over for that. Because now D'Ossi calls out every game,
Does he? Okay.
I think so.
I don't know. I don't know who does it now.
I believe he does.
But it's tails.
You have to keep that in the special team. And it still is always tails, by the way.
Did they really?
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's always tails. You win championships with tails.
They also call tails years they did not win, by the way. Just FYI.
All right. Yeah, you're right.
201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go to the phones. Bash in Ohio is up first.
What up, Bash?
Come on, Bash. How are you?
How are you doing, John? What's going on, Jeff?
How are you, Bash? What's up?
Not much, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Quick laugh for you. I did just see over the week the Twitter, the Hall of Fame nominees came out, and Steve Smith was one of the nominations. They got a bit. Twitter went crazy about that, but Steve Smith did a nomination, the New York Giants Steve Smith, and not the Bruce Lechinger. Did y'all see that?
I did not, but I don't believe Steve Smith is going to make the Hall of Fame.
I think that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't a mistake. It was just a laugh and stuff. But I thought about it as far as the running back situation. You see, taking any snaps or getting more snaps than Pulver. I see, like, over training camp, mini camp, preseason, and the first game, that Dark like the better running back than Perkins. I know before training camp started, McAdoo went and said, Paul Perkins is this guy, but I just think it's like Dark was healthy. I think they said that Dark was still coming off the injury and everything, and nobody expected with the school from Dark.
Bash, I think it's too early to make that move. I agree, Perkins has not done as much as you would have liked, and you know, I'm a huge Paul Perkins guy, everyone knows that, but he has not shown the production you have liked to see thus far. But then again, the Giants ran the ball 12 times on Sunday night. You have to give the guy a chance. Right.
And the other thing is, you got to name a starter. Okay, he was named the starter. He earned a starting position going into the season. I will tell you this. That is not set in stone for as long as this season is going to go. I think there's going to be a lot of up and back on that position. I really do. But somebody's got to be a starter. It's Perkins now. And like John said, 12 rushes. You can't form your opinion on a game that you ran the ball 12 times and all of a sudden say that guy didn't get it done. So we'll see what happens. But listen, I think that Darkwood should get his share of carries because I think that he deserves it. I think he runs hard. I think he's explosive. And you know, Paul Perkins is still a little bit young. He's got to figure some things out, and he's got to have a little bit better vision. You know, looking back at that game, there were some holes there. He didn't hit them.
There were a couple, but there were also runs where there wasn't a lot of room.
Absolutely. So it's a collection of a lot of different things going on around there. So.
That's what I said. Perkins, I feel like he left a lot of yards. I'm not saying as far as Darkwood being a star. I'm just saying him cutting into the step as far as getting a little bit more snaps, a couple of more carries in the game. I'm saying as far as Sparkins are start, he's the guy to go to us. But I'm just saying as far as we're going to look at Sutter, I'm just saying Darkwood getting a little bit more snaps in the game, a little bit more carries going into this week and going into the season. I know it's a short season and everything, but you see Darkwood stars going into the season, getting a couple of more carries and getting more time of cutting into Perkins snaps it. Going into the season.
All right, Bash. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. I hear what you're saying. I think you want both backs to have more carries in this game.
I think they will. I think the Giants will get 25 to 30 carries this game. Back at last week's, I forgot my notes, but last year's, they were right around 32 carries last game. So we'll see what happens.
201-939-4513. Jason in Maine. He's up next. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, Jason. What's up?
Good. Hey, just a suggestion first. I think Jeff ought to be able to have a kickoff on the pitcher's mound before the game.
I wish I could.
Yeah, you punt the baseball to home plate.
I would have loved that. I would have dropped it on the outside corner of the plate.
Yeah, just two things for you. I'll just ask them and then I'll get off the air.
Sure.
The first one, I'm wondering if you can update us on the salary cap situation where we had all the cut downs, all the roster moves. If you can update us on that. And then I was wondering,
Jason,
also,
hold on, Jason, Jason,
you could
Jason.
Give us a good description on Darian Thompson, our safety. I just want to know how you guys think he's playing, if you think he's playing really good or if there's some things he needs to work on. Just wonder if you can give us an update on his play and how he's doing, and I'll take it off the air. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Jason. Well, first on the salary cap thing, they don't really publish that. And number two, at this point, the salary cap doesn't matter because what the salary cap looks like now, and Jeff can speak to this better than I can, compared to what it's going to look like at the end of the season based on what players earned in terms of incentives and stuff like that, it's going to change a lot. And there's no one out there right now that you're going to have to allocate salary cap space to sign to a big money contract. So the salary cap space that's available now is unimportant. It doesn't matter. What it's going to look like at the end of the season after all your incentives and stuff are given out on contracts, that's going
to
matter.
I think what Jason may be trying to get is, like, where is the Giants in terms of would they be able to sign someone else if they have the money? You know, so I know it's probably it's updated, you know, I don't know, daily or weekly, probably daily.
I mean, based on overthecap.com, they have a few million, 4 or 5, I think it looks like, according to this. But again, that's not official. I have no idea.
Yeah. And as far as Darian Thompson goes, listen, the guy is still a little bit, you know, green. I mean, he missed a lot of time in the past, and he's just working his way back. As you notice in the preseason, that fourth preseason game here, as your starting safety was playing almost the whole game. So that just goes to show you right there that he needs a little bit more work. And, you know, but from one game, listen, you know, the Cowboys didn't particularly throw the ball down the field. And, you know, the typical Cowboy game with Dak Prescott, you know, just managing the football and having a running game. So I think he's growing into his position.
You know, Ben McAdoo talked about complementary football after the game, how the Giants did not play it. You know what the Cowboys play? They play complementary football. Running game, passing game, offense,
special
defense,
teams.
Special teams. That is a formula for winning. That's how they got to 13-3 last year. And frankly, that's how they won in week one also.
It goes with – and, I, you know, throw out the Cowboys. Just talk about all 32 teams. What do you want to do? You want to get to that fourth quarter in the last 7-8 minutes of the game and be able to do what? Run the football and run the clock out. The Cowboys, that's their MO, man. They can do it. They can start the game running and they can finish it.
And by the way, look how the Jaguars won in week one against Houston.
That
was Tom Coughlin's formula right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And they went out and got Leonard Fournette, who you know, we know what this guy could do in college. I mean, Tom Coughlin likes those big backs, boy.
And he will run them all right. 201-939-4513. Back to the phone. Let's go to Dre in Atlanta on line 3. He's up next. Hi, Dre.
What's up, Dre?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's up, Feagles? What's going on?
Not much,
John?
Man. Good
what's
to
up,
hear
Dre?
From you.
It's been a little while.
That's
hey,
all right.
Let me just throw something at you.
Sure.
I watched the game a few times, sit down there, and broke it down. I'm not going to jump off the ledge. I've seen some positives, and I've seen some negatives. Especially in the running game. But when it comes down to overall offense, one thing I saw last year that I didn't see in the first game was when Paul Perkins came in the game, his success is when we had him in space. Now, I watched some of those runs. He had all positive runs because when he was in there, we weren't 3rd and 9, 3rd and 7. We was 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5.
That's true.
3rd and 6.
I agree.
So it's like Novocaine. You give it chances, it'll work. But I think if you put him in space, because there's a lot of times where maybe not in progression, if you had checked down him, he was wide open in the flats, and that puts him in space against a linebacker and gives him the opportunity to miss, make the linebacker miss and get some yards.
You know, Dre, it's funny. I know a lot of people talk this year about adding the fullback and how it helps the running game. I'm not sure if Paul Perkins is better with the fullback. I mean, do you want a guy in front of him restricting his movement, or would you rather get him into an area and let him make the guy miss and get some yards? So I do think there is something to that, Dre, in getting him in space. I feel like he was getting the ball in some congested areas where there was, you know, not a ton of room for him to use his quickness and such. But he also has to do a better job. I mean, the bottom line here is you're right. The running game wasn't very effective, but at the same time, you didn't have a lot of negative plays or zero plays. There was a lot of 2nd and 7s, a lot of 2nd and 8s, a lot of 2nd and 6s here or there. And you know what? 2nd and 7's okay. If you're in 2nd and 7 every series, you're going to have a decent amount of success. So I do think they could have stuck with the run a little bit more, Dre, and I imagine they're probably going to do that on Monday night against the Lions.
I do too. Also, when they had that extra blocker in now – there's so much you can do with Rhett Ellison and Shane. They both have hands. And when they had the extra blocker in, or you had the running back chipping on the way out, they were successful and they completed their passes. I think if you get what – I mean, we really don't know what's going on with Bobby Hart's ankle, because after watching it, once he hurt his ankle, he was horrible. And I think that's what I'll put on I understand he's a warrior, he wants to play it out, but that's what I put on McAdoo. When you see that your tackle is hurt and he is getting beat like a drum, hey, next series in, hey, till we get an understanding of what's going on with your ankle, go in. But that's where the fundamental flaw is when you have Fluker inactive. You know, I really think overall there was mistakes included with coaching and personnel alignment, but I'm not going on Monday morning quarterback on that one. But I think if we don't learn from our mistakes, that's when I think all the fans are going to sit down and call. But for the most part, I hope since it's a home game, changes will be made, and I think we need to – If we want to see a running game, I think we need to commit to it. And if it all out fails and we're negative yards every run, then I say we can abandon. But in order for you to even get Detroit to think that we're going to do play action, we gotta commit to the run.
Thank you, Dre.
Yep, and I'll make one comment on the run that I think is going to work this week. Dallas front did a lot of stunting in that game.
Oh, ton.
They were all over the place. And, you know, you should be able, as a professional football line, you should be able to pick up the stunts.
And by the way, they said all week going into that game, they knew they were going to do that. That wasn't a surprise.
Sure. And you can practice it all you want, but if they're doing one thing that you practice and then they're doing something different in the game, you should be able to pick it up. The Lions defense is not a big stunting front four. They're basically up the field rush, so that could play well into the Giants running game.
Unless the Lions switch it up this week and they try to copycat, which is a possibility.
Absolutely, and why not? Why not? But if you're a traditional team that rushes up the field, you don't do a lot of stunting. Sometimes you got to caution against that because you might take yourself out of the play because you're just not used to running a lot of stunts. Every defense runs stunts more than others, some teams more than others. But Dallas is a big stunt. They try to get it done with the four guys by confusing you. And they definitely did that last week against the Giants.
Just a heads up, injury report from today. Six guys on the list: Odell Beckham ankle, Jay Bromley knee, Bobby Hart ankle, Janoris Jenkins ankle hand, Tavarius King ankle, Keenan Robinson concussion. According to media reports from practice, it appears as though Beckham was out there moving better and more freely when he worked on the side with the trainer. Bobby Hart and Keenan Robinson did not practice. Everyone else looked like they
were good.
Seems
to be the year of the ankle.
And I would imagine Beckham will be a limited participant today. But again, we'll get that official report from Ben McAdoo after practice.
Well, I mean, he's out there. He's running around.
That's good.
You know, and I think that, you know, as a player, you always want to play, but you have to listen to the staff, the medical. Those are the guys that make the decision. So one good thing, got an extra day of rest. You know, it's a Monday night game. And not only is it it's a Monday night game, so you have another, like, all day Monday because the game's at 8:30. So, you know, it's not like it's a Monday 1 o'clock game. You're actually getting a whole other half a day almost to rest, too. So that'll be good. And God only knows how many hours that Odell Beckham has been spending in the training room. I mean, they said it on air the other day, 13 hours, and I believe it.
And look, he was pretty close to playing last week.
That's what I mean.
I mean, he was on the field. He was running around. He was cutting. Now, he didn't look like himself before the game. We were watching him. He did not. And absolutely. And I think it was the smart move to hold him out because, look, you don't – ankle injuries can linger. If he gets hit again on it or something like that, you could be out another 4 to 6 weeks.
Or not even just hit on it, just moves different.
Whatever. So make sure it's right.
Yeah.
I think there's a very – again, I thought last week he would have a pretty good chance of playing until he started missing practice. So the fact that he's on the practice field today in some way, shape, or form is a good sign.
Yeah, and even if he can't be 100%, at least the presence of Odell Beckham being on the field is good.
Steven in Bayonne, he's up next. Hi, Steven.
What's up, Steven? Not very far from us over here in Rutherford.
I know. I usually take the ramp to be the ramp by the Giants Stadium almost every morning going to work. But
nice.
Today's my day off.
Well, enjoy it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. First of all, I want to congratulate you, John, on your new baby.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations. No,
5 weeks old, baby.
You were gone for a couple weeks, but nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I'll be missing the game on Monday because I have class at 6 p.m. But
how long is class?
It's from 6 to 9:35.
Well, you only missed the first half.
Yeah, but I'm thinking the ride back home from Journal Square to Bayonne, that's an extra. I'll probably get like late fourth quarter.
Well, here's the thing. Make sure you tune in to WCBS News Radio 880 and listen to the game on your way home.
There you go.
Yep, it's a computer class, so I'll be on the Giants website with headphones on.
There you go.
And making sure I catch everything that I could.
So you're basically telling us that you're going to get nothing done on Monday night in your class.
No, not at all. Not at all. Jeff, my question today was, how did the bet pan out with you and
Charlie? Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you asked, because
have we seen anything from Charlie yet?
Well, because I haven't. I mean, I only follow the Giants roster, yeah. So I don't follow cuts for other teams. And I think this was the first time since since the last the last 53.
Happy,
I think
I'm
you two
happy
are on.
To report,
you two are on.
I'm happy to report to you that Charlie has been in touch with me.
Okay.
He has conceded the bet. It was official.
Nice.
And that he went out of the country for 10 days and told me that he will ship them to me whenever I want. They will be live.
Oh, that's why he hasn't called in. He's
out of
the country. Where is he?
I do not know. I didn't want to ask.
What other country was dumb enough to let him step foot on their soil?
I don't know, right? I didn't even want to ask. So when he returns, we just have to figure out. Now, he asked me what my home address was. I don't want him shipped to my house. I want him shipped here so that we can have a special edition of Big Blue Kickoff.
You can hold up the lobsters.
Hold the lobsters up in honor of Charlie. Don't you think, Schmelk?
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm
done. I'm writing it down.
That's
Schmelk
fine.
Said good.
You can do it. I am not in charge of throwing out whatever the lobsters came in or taking care of the lobsters.
I'll take care of all that.
Okay.
Bring bibs.
Fine.
I'll bring it all.
As long as I don't have to deal with disposing of the lobster stuff, you can do whatever you want.
All I need from you, John, is the okay that it can be happened. I've just gotten that. It's on. So I will bring them in.
Another reason you might not want it sent to your house, Beagles, is he might not know your home address and just keep sending you pages of scouting reports of offensive linemen and just,
ring the doorbell one night.
Steve actually makes a really good point. He really does.
Yeah, he'll just send you pages of just Europeans that you never knew. He's like, well, he could play tackle. Have a good day, guys.
All right, thank you, Steve. That's it. He didn't want to talk about the team. He should have talked about Charlie.
And of all the weeks that Charlie had to be out of the country, it was this week.
Thank goodness. It's funny. Every day the show is over this week, I've asked the host, I go, guys, did Charlie call it yet? I'm just waiting for it. I'm waiting for the told you so.
He's been out of town.
So luckily, the Giants will have a chance to redeem themselves keep Charlie quiet when he gets back. Let's go to Peggy all the way out in California. Peggy's with us next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi,
Peggy. How are you today?
Hi. I listen to your show all the time, and I just love it.
Thank you.
You guys are really great.
Appreciate it.
And I like the oral history of the Giants because me and my husband were both watching that. And in fact, me and my husband are both I like the Giants. He likes the Packers. So.
Oh, that was a rough year for you guys then. Yeah.
Each other.
And I'll tell you what. Yeah, you guys probably didn't sit in the same room during that NFC Championship game.
Got 10 years to get over.
No,
it, so.
We can't sit in the same room. No, it's very hard for us to sit in the same room because I'm such a big fan of the Giants. But my question was, do you think that the Giants would ever take a defensive player and maybe trade him to another team to get a good offensive player to help Eli out when he is playing games?
Peggy, that's a good question, and I saw somebody kind of bring this up online the other day. I forget, maybe SI.com had it, how the Giants should take one of their defensive linemen or secondary players and make a trade for an offensive lineman, kind of what the Eagles did when they traded Jordan Matthews for Darby from the Bills. Now, Darby, of course, is out 6 weeks with the dislocated ankle.
Yeah.
But the problem, Peggy, is that trades in the NFL are just really hard to make happen with the salary cap, and it's hard to find a good partner. And, Jeff, I think the question then would be, do you want to potentially harm this defense in a significant way? Because if you're going to get a good offensive lineman, you're going to have to give up one of your starters on defense in a trade like that.
And also the fact is it takes, you just can't plug and play here. It takes them a little bit of, a little bit of time to get into the system and things like that. So
I think it would have been more realistic to maybe do something like this in June rather than doing something like this now.
Or maybe the last week in training camp, like the Eagles. I mean, right. They did that like the last week in training camp and gives them almost 3 weeks to be with the team. But, you know, the trades in football are not like baseball. They don't happen a lot. It's just because it's a different animal. But it's a good point. It sounds like you would want to do that. But in the reality of it, it's much more difficult to do.
Oh, okay.
Thank you,
Peggy. Yeah, because I think – okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I appreciate
Keep
the call, Peggy.
We appreciate
that. Yes, we love having our listeners out there in California. Peggy, I know I cut you a little short there, but we got a lot of calls. I want to make sure we get everybody in before we get to 1 o'clock. We talked about it for half an hour today doing the oral history stuff. And Peggy did mention the oral history, by the way. It's giants.com/oral history. Make sure you go check that out. It's kind of perspectives from almost – a dozen, 15 different people talking about the game-winning drive in Super Bowl 42. Dave in Cranford's on line 3. He's next. What's up, Dave?
Hello, Dave.
How are you guys?
Good.
Well, Dave, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, Jeff, real quick, Zach okay down in Miami? Everything's okay down there?
Everything's good. He actually went back yesterday to Orlando. Still not back at school.
What did he do when the storm came?
He drove up to Gainesville with his roommate. His sister lives in Gainesville. They stayed there for a day. I got him to Uber to Jacksonville, hour and a half Uber ride.
Oh, that must not have been cheap.
And I flew him from Jacksonville home, and he was home last Friday until yesterday, and now the team is in Orlando. They're waiting for the university to open. It's not open yet.
How much damage was done to the football facilities?
It's not. It's just more like wind damage. You know, some trees down. Electricity.
Flooding too, or no?
Not a lot of flooding.
Okay, that's good.
So that's good. But they're just trying to get the campus up and running. And I don't know what they're doing up there in Orlando. I'm hoping they're practicing. They postponed their game against Florida State this Saturday. It was a primetime game. They're moving it to their bye weekend. So
smart.
Tough move for the Canes. They haven't practiced in over a week, and it'll be 3 weeks in between their first and their next game. So
yeah,
thank you for asking,
crazy.
Though. I appreciate
that's
that.
That's crazy. Hey, John, I was wondering if you could maybe mention this, because you probably have, you know, both of you, but you probably have a really good handle on this. And that is, you know, what's the Giants' schedule look like, you know, because of a Monday night game, and how much practice time? I mean, that's one of the things coming off of last week that's a little challenging and frustrating is, you know, there's definitely things that they obviously need to improve on, but what, you know, how much time do they actually have, you know, because they're just not on the field that much.
Well, I mean, I think playing on Monday night this week, it gives you an extra day.
It
gives you an extra day of recovery.
Yeah.
This week. So the players weren't here on Monday or Tuesday. They were here on Wednesday. They did a little bit of the film review on Dallas, right? And then they started looking ahead to Detroit a little bit. So they're on the practice field today for the first real practice of the week. They'll practice again tomorrow. Then they'll have recovery day on Saturday. And then on Sunday they'll have another little practice before they play on Monday night.
Which will be like their, yeah.
But because of the extra recovery day, Jeff, I imagine probably the practices today and tomorrow will probably be a little bit more intense than your normal regular season practice.
Yeah. Well, today's like a
Wednesday. Today's like a Wednesday.
So Wednesday's a ramp-up day. Wednesday, Thursday, recovery
and
Friday.
Thursday, a normal Thursday, Friday this week is your big practice
Correct.
Of the week.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mac had him in pads this Friday.
The downside of a Monday night game is the short week
the following week. Yeah.
So right. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
And by the way, you get to play the Eagles in Philadelphia.
Now, one of the yeah, luckily
on a short week.
On a short week, but the travel is okay.
That's true.
The ultimate scenario would be a Monday night game in Philly and then coming back here and playing, you know what I'm saying? Because you guys got – the team did not get back until 6 in the morning.
Yeah, we landed 5:30 a.m. on Monday morning. That's right.
And so, you know, that's a tough turnaround. If you have a Monday night game that's close, that at least helps you a little bit because you get home at a
Correct.
Respectable hour. So
Yeah. I guess the other question for you guys is, I know it wasn't a big sample size, but Darkwa – you know, is a guy that always just seems to kind of, you know, flash is what I would say here and there. And you just, it almost feels, you know, a little bit like, you know, there's an opportunity there and it would love to see him get, you know, I don't know, 8-10 carries and kind of get into a rhythm because he just seems to be that north-south runner that can, you know, get key first downs. And you know, we didn't have enough running plays. We didn't have enough offensive plays, obviously, but But it just seems like he's got some experience and could be an answer while Perkins is still trying to figure some things out.
Yeah, and you know, I think you are going to see him get a little bit of time. And thanks a lot for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. And to me, he's your short yardage back right now. Like you said, he's the most powerful guy, one cut and go. But at the same time, it's volume here. You got to run the ball more. If you want to get him 8 to 10 carries, well, then you got to run the ball 27, 30 times in a game. The Giants ran it like 13 times against Dallas. 12, sorry. Oh, because Eli didn't kneel down.
You were close. Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. But you just have to get into more of a rhythm with the running game. And in order to do that, what do you have to do? You have to convert on third down, something the Giants couldn't do against Dallas. So you put all things those things together. And the other thing, too, Jeff, Orleans Darkwa has never been a primary running back. I don't even think in college. I'll have to go back and look what his numbers were in college. And he's had a lot of injury issues. I mean, if you run him too much, is he going to last? Can he survive all those carries and touches? I don't know the answer to that.
I think in the National Football League, you need two running backs, period.
Sure you do, absolutely. So, and the Giants have three if you count Vereen.
And that's my point earlier was you got to name one of them a starter.
Right.
But I think that, you know, maybe one of them is going to get 30% more of the carries. But the guy that's behind him – you got to make, you know, when you're in there, you got to make hay, man. You got to go and do what you're supposed to. I think that Darkwa at this point in his career and with Perkins, I think Darkwa has a little bit more explosive and vision, and I think that will come with Perkins eventually. Remember, the transition between the two, the college and the pro game, are tremendous. Guy hasn't had a lot of experience. He got a little bit last year, but, you know, he's still growing as an NFL running back. So we can't go and expect him to be Le'Veon Bell this first game of the season.
Our guy Big Dash on Twitter thinks Charlie's probably in Amsterdam.
Wonder why.
I don't know.
I know why.
You think?
Yes.
I'm just playing dumb. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Nick in the Meadowlands. He's up next. What's up, Nick?
Nick. Hey, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
All right. Hey, Jeff, listen. Maybe at the game Saturday, I want to see you throw a strike, man.
Okay, listen. I hope I just throw it to the catcher. I don't care if it's a
just don't.
You said you wanted to throw a pass when you played in the NFL.
He
man.
Makes a good
now,
point.
Now you can throw a strike over the plate.
He
man.
Makes
you
a good point.
Right. Come on.
I'm going to be locked into that first pitch on Saturday. I have nothing to do Saturday. Well, I have to be here.
I take John's advice and throw
telling
a few.
You, Jeff.
You know?
You will never hear
John,
if you don't think your teammates
ball,
are gonna murder
on.
You if you throw a bad pitch, you're gonna deal with these guys all weekend, Jeff. All weekend you gotta see these guys. If you throw a bad pitch,
listen,
you are going to get absolutely pounded.
I played so
pounded.
Much baseball in my life.
When's the last time you threw a baseball?
Probably 20 years ago.
Like, that's a problem. That's a problem. Jeff, I'm trying to help
man.
You.
Come
when
on.
Nick,
right,
Nick, Nick, hold on one second.
On,
when Tom Coughlin, when
on,
I'm
you
trying
guys,
to.
You guys have to work. Go throw a few, all right?
When Tom right. Coughlin threw out the first pitch at the Yankee game, he was out there with Triggs, one of our guys in our front office.
No, he was not.
Yeah, he was after practice
of
at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, I'm trying to leave, and he has his glove out there, and he's throwing
as Tom
for
Coughlin
two or
say,
3 days.
Preparation is the key to success.
Exactly.
So he was preparing.
If you go out there right, and you fine. Throw a quack or the air mail, or you can't bounce it, you go
all
back.
Right, I'll do it.
And look,
I'll do it.
We just had the anniversary of September 11th, and the story that Derek Jeter always tells is that in the playoffs, when the Yankees played the Texas Rangers, and I was at the game, there was crazy security going, and nobody knew why. The metal detectors are up. It took like an hour to get into the stadium.
Right.
It was a nightmare. So you get there, and you know President Bush comes out with the body armor and the whole deal under his shirt, and he throws it. So before he goes out, he's talking to Jeter, and he says, you know, Derek, give me advice. He goes, doesn't matter who you are, if you bounce it, they'll boo you. And, he,
oh,
and with the body armor, which is very, right. And Bush always tells a story, it's hard to throw with the body armor on, that he still threw the strike.
I'm
so
not
mate,
have any
so
body
do
armor,
not,
though.
Yeah, but you're old and you haven't thrown a baseball
I'm
in 20
years.
I'm
not as old as Coughlin or W. Bush. Please. I can throw that thing. I'll heat it over. I'm throwing a knuckleball.
Oh, man. This is not going to go. All right, Nick. Nick, what's your football point?
A few things.
Yeah,
I'm
please.
I'm going to start off optimistic and saying, you know, I'm a defensive guy. I've been waiting for a middle linebacker a long time. And this guy, he's looked good in preseason. You know, in college, the same thing. He waited for his turn. And now, you know, I hope. Because, you know, I've seen a couple, you know. I remember, you know, in free agency, John Beeson, but that worked out the way it did, you know. And
well, that was a trade,
pierced,
too, dude.
You know, free agency. But the last guy you really drafted was in the same round just a few picks before, which is Harry Carson, you know, and he had 25 tackles in a game. Now this guy is having 18 in his first NFL debut, you know, really, you know.
Played well.
No, Nick, he played a good game, but I will say this. Good, I will say this, Nick, real quick. If you look at the box score, though, a lot of those tackles were after Ezekiel Elliott for 6, Jason Witten catch for 7.
Like,
too many of those tackles are down the field for my taste.
Had to make them, though.
Correct.
Here's one thing I can say that nobody has – I haven't heard anybody say, you know what? Dallas played a good game.
No, they definitely
did. Look, Dallas does what they do, Nick, and they're good at it.
You know, he could have gone down the field more, but that just shows you that our – you know, like – Janoris Jenkins, I think he won the battle, you know, really, when it comes down to it. But they could have scored a lot more points. You know, this Cowboys offense, I'm sure they're going to blow teams away with this offense down the road.
Yes,
so
they will.
So that just shows you that the defense did good, but you know they're going to do a lot better down the road. They're going to get a lot better.
Well, and they're going to force some turnovers.
The offense isn't going to score 3 points every game, you know.
Absolutely, Nick.
The Cowboys played a clean game. They didn't turn the ball over.
And but really, they never came close to turning the ball over. No. I mean, they had the one pass that got deflected, and Darian Thompson almost dove to get the pick. But other than that, and that's the thing with Dak Prescott. Look, he's going to throw more than 4 picks this year. That's just the way the NFL works. There's no way he's throwing just 4. There's no way.
He's good.
He could play just as good as he did last year. He's still going to throw more than 4
and
just
even
because
if
of
he
bad
threw
luck.
It's still a good year,
right? But he doesn't put the ball in harm's way because he doesn't have to. Yeah.
And like I said, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, he was playing. We all knew it, and he's good. He's a really good running back. I mean, he's solid. He knows how to play the game.
Better than solid.
Whenever he has, you know, minus yardage, he turns it into 2. You know what I mean?
And he always falls forward, Nick. That's the thing. If you hit Ezekiel Elliott,
he
always falls forward for 2 or 3 yards.
It's hard to defend. It really is. And you saw 21 and you saw 93 around the ball the whole time, you know. Basically,
hey, look,
and
Nick,
will get it together,
and Nick,
I'm sure.
And Nick, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We got to run. I got one more call I got to get in. And, you know, people talk about the offensive line, and it was Lyle Collins' first ever start at right tackle. Did you hear JPP's name?
No.
Did you hear OV's name?
One time.
And you know, JPP had that big tackle for loss on Elliott, too, on that sweep.
And Vernon had one sack.
That play was actually made by Snacks Harrison. Did he have a sack, Vernon?
Mm-hmm. Vernon had one sack.
When did he have the sack?
I don't know.
Trying to remember.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, that. I know what it was. Remember, they used Vernon inside a lot.
Oh, when he stood up in the middle of the line.
Yeah.
Now I remember that.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
But again, that wasn't over Tyron Smith.
No. Well, Tyron Smith doesn't get up Mary sack. That's probably why he went inside.
And, folks, that's why I know you – and this is why when we talked last week and Giant fans got mad at me on Twitter. They said, oh, you're giving the Cowboys too much credit. I'm like, guys, hey, you beat them twice last year by a combined 4 points, all right? The games were nip and tuck. In fact, the final game of the year, the teams gained the exact same amount of yardage in the game. It was 260 to 260. These are two very evenly matched teams. And last Sunday night – the Cowboys happened to play fairly well. I don't think they played great, but they played fairly well.
They managed the football game.
And the Giants played poorly.
Yeah.
So if you have two teams that are fairly evenly matched, one plays well and one plays bad, guess what? That's what you're going to get.
I mean, the Giants play halfway decent. The game is maybe 19-14, 19-17, something
absolutely
like that.
Sure.
Okay, so, I mean, yeah. And you know, we always think in the years ago, these games always used to be shootouts. I mean, recently, the last 3 games now, close games.
Well, as we've said, Jeff, the Giants' defense matches up well against the Cowboys. They have Snacks in the middle to stop the run. Jenkins does a very good job at Dez Bryant, though he was fortunate on those 2 goal line plays when Dez was open for the touchdown. They missed him when he was wide open on 2 straight plays.
He was wide open on the first. The slant was a touchdown.
I think JPP got in that passing lane a little bit, which kind of forced Prescott to airmail it a little bit. But even if he catches that, Jenkins still did a really good job on Dez Bryant.
Absolutely.
He did. He did a
He's
good
Dez
job.
Dez Bryant. He's going to catch his catches.
Exactly. So the Giants' defense matches up well. And quite frankly, these two teams are very familiar with each other. When you have teams that know each other and they're good, you're not going
like
to have shootouts.
Games. No, like all division games.
The teams know what the other one's trying to do. Anyway, final call of the show is Bruce in California. He'll
Another
wrap
California
us up.
Guy,
Hi, Bruce. He wants to talk about kickoff strategy. So, Jeff, I'm going to let you handle this
all
one, all right?
What do we got,
go ahead,
Bruce.
Thanks
for calling in. Good morning. Bruce?
I think we lost Bruce. Bruce going once. Bruce going twice.
It takes a long ways.
We had a special teams call for Jeff.
Hello?
There we go. What's up, Bruce?
Jeff, I wanted to tell you how much we appreciate all your great punting over the years for the Giants, man. It meant a lot to us to have that kind of thing locked down, so we appreciate it. And I had a question about kickoffs, so I figured you'd be the right person to ask.
All right.
I'm a little confused about something.
Sure.
Don't be confused.
You know, about 5 or 6 years ago, the league moved the kickoff line up with the idea, I think, of getting more touchbacks,
yep.
you know, so that you'd avoid some of the injuries.
Yep.
And then they moved the touchback line to the 25 to kind of encourage people to not run the ball back. But it seems like increasingly, you know, a lot of coaches are, you know, trying to get hang time and dropping the ball, like, right at the goal line.
That's true.
Because they're able to get people to run the ball back and usually trap them inside the 25. We talked about Rosas having this great leg so he can keep kicking the ball out of the end zone, but really it's hang time, right? I mean, that seems to be what more and more people are angling for, so they're running the ball back actually a lot more, which really wasn't what the league was about. So I was curious as to what your thoughts were on that strategy from a kickoff standpoint.
And it's exactly that. It's a strategy. It basically determines who the returner is on the other side. If you got a guy that's a speedster, you don't want to get the ball in his hands regardless. If you pooch it down there or kick it in the end zone, he's going to run it out. So you want to. So if you have if your coverage team, you feel that you can have an advantage against their return team, then you start doing what they call the little mortar kicks, or the little more hang time comes into effect, trying to get the ball maybe down there on the 1 yard line, somewhere inside the 5. And the special teams coach and the head coach will take the ball on the 20, the 19, even though it's 6 yards. It doesn't seem like a lot, but the scoring average when you start to go backwards, in other words, if you start a drive inside the 20-yard line, your chances of scoring are X. You know, just that 6 yards makes a little bit of a difference, and that's where the game of inches comes from. It's a matter
of just
little things.
It does seem like the guys that are hanging the ball up, even if you've got a good returner, if you can get that ball hung up at the goal line, you're most times you're way inside the 25. I mean you're it seems like you're doing that, so it's kind of ironic because the league is probably getting a lot more runbacks now than they used to in the idea that they were trying to reduce it, but that seems like the smarter strategy for, unless you've got someone superb,
well,
you know, like
a returner.
But
it
seems
would
like that's the case.
Subject to say, you
thank
know,
you, Bruce. Appreciate
if,
the call.
What if the touchback still only came down to the 20? Then I think you'd still have guys banging it out of the end zone.
Absolutely.
That extra 5 yards seems to be a little bit of, you know, it's just a...
I still think eventually we're going to wind up having a punt formation for kickoffs.
That'll
prevent the collisions that they want to prevent for kickoffs.
Interesting. It's like maybe punt from... Oh, so the punter is actually going to do the kickoff?
Sure.
I think we might
have
talked about
that.
We have talked about that before.
Because you have all the guys at the line, so you don't have those guys running each other at full speed, which I think limits the danger of the play.
Yes.
I think that's eventually where we're going to land.
That would be really weird.
Do you have a minute?
I got plenty of time.
It's time for everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegel?
Memory pills. I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
So this is the game.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegel's with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so.
John Schmelk.
All right, here we go. Jeff is 33-25. That's where we're at right now.
We need to get a new piece of paper.
We do need a new sheet of paper. Actually, this is the best. I couldn't even find the record on here. So you're 8 games over 500. You went 3-0 last time we played. You were struggling, but you had a big week last week.
John was struggling with me going 3-0 because he thought he had me stalled.
I was displeased. Did you ever play with Don Carey? Don Carey.
No, never played with Don Carey.
You win.
That's correct.
Yes. Schmuck, that's 4 in a row.
Did you ever play with Russell Davis?
Yes.
When and where did you play with Russell Davis?
This is the hard part.
You did play with Russell Davis, but when?
I did play with Russell Davis, and I got to say it was with the Seahawks. Yeah, Cardinals.
You might see Russell Davis this weekend. He was on the 2007 New York Football Giants for 11 games.
Wasn't.
Yes, he was.
He was
yes, he was.
For how many games?
11.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
He actually had a pass defended in that year.
Oh.
He had 2 tackles. He played 11 games.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
I apologize. I know. Hopefully Russell Davis isn't watching the show. And, no way.
Absolutely. Russell Davis.
Russell Davis. From where?
2007, NYG.
And he
was 32 years old.
8 years?
Yeah, that's correct.
League.
Let me find his game log for you. I can tell you what games he played in.
That is absolutely.
Game log 2007. I don't think he was on the playoff roster, in fairness.
Okay.
But let's see.
In fairness. Although I did get it wrong. All right, 1-1.
He played in weeks 1 through 11. Actually, I take that back. His final – no, he actually played in both playoff games. He played against Tampa and Dallas in the playoffs.
That's what's really messed up about this game. It really is.
All right. I have one more name for you. Hold on. Let me find the other name here. Where is it? Did you play with Charles Washington? Charles Washington.
You know what I'm doing right now? I'm visualizing what the back of these jerseys are.
There's a lot of Washingtons out there.
There's so many Washingtons. I got to say that I probably didn't.
You did or you didn't?
I did not.
Correct. You did not play with Charles Washington. Both Charles Washington and Don Carey will be manning the defensive backfield for the Detroit Lions on Monday night against the Giants.
He's going to come to me, hey, Jeff, what's up, man? I'm like, hey, Russ.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Great stuff. And again, if you're watching earlier in the show, you want to check out that Giants oral history. It's giants.com/oral history. You'll hear from a lot of the key players on that final last-second game-winning drive from the New York Giants. You won't hear from Jeff Fiegels, but you heard from him here. So that's okay.
What the heck?
So make sure you check that again. Dan Salmon and our entire web team did a great job putting that together. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk. I'm back tomorrow with Meadow.
Meadow.
As we preview Giants and Lions. We'll see you then, everybody. Have a good
day.